Welcome to Destiny Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Eric Smith. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit destinydayton.com.
We're in the middle of this summer series called The Elephant in the Room, and this is the last day for this series. And I want to thank everyone who helped keep the church rolling and take care of things while I was gone. I've been on a two-week vacation hiatus, and it's been really nice. But, well, thank you. Thank you. Pastor's gone. Everyone clap, but he's gone. Yeah, okay. No, I know what you mean. I know. I'm messing. But, yeah, it was great to get away. But I'll be honest, some point this week, I was just chomping at the bit to be back. And I got serious questions about these ministers who take six-month sabbaticals. I would be fit to be tied if I did something like that. I was called to preach the gospel, not sit and dig my toes in sand and drink Kool-Aid on the beach, although that is fun, but that has an expiration date on it also. Time is short. Hello? Time is short. The Bible, the psalmist said, Lord, teach me to number my days. The best thing some of you could do in here is number your days. You understand there's an expiration limit on all of us. And that helps you get a little more urgent about the things of the Lord. We have a moment in time where God has called us and He's gifted us. He's blessed us with the time that we have to make a difference on this planet. And our job is to unload hell and to load heaven. We're to rescue as many people from the flames as we can, so says the Word of God, and bring as many people to heaven with us. People say you can't take anything to heaven. That's not completely true. You can take the souls with you that you won for the Lord, because you'll see them. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us clarity in our mind and our thinking today. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would open our hearts to the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done and who you are. God, I pray you would speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. At this point, too, I want to invite everybody in the media booth. I'm going to probably stay right here so the camera work will be easy. I hopefully have clicker control. I will have clicker control. There it is. Yes, good. So if you guys want to come down and join your spouses or friends or family or just get some own space, that'd be fine as well. Because I want you to settle in. I want everyone to be comfortable. I want you to listen. And like I said a minute ago, I assume you're here to learn. So I'm just telling you in advance, this may go longer than I normally go. I don't know. I have a lot of notes, but I every bit of it's important because we are here to expose some things today. This is not a typical sermon per se. This is some teaching. This is some sharing some of the research that I have jumped into over the past few weeks. As part of what I was doing over vacation is reading and studying and preparing, which is like a hobby for me. So don't think I wasn't like enjoying myself. But I enjoy myself when I have a book on my lap. That's a good morning, Joe. You know what I'm talking about right there. That's a good vacation. Give me a book and a quiet porch, and I'm on vacation. So today we want to look at transgenderism and truth. And in a moment, we're going to look at some scripture from 2 Corinthians 11, but we're going to do that at the end. So you can just kind of hang on to that, and I'll show the scripture on the screen. Because how many know you have to show a Bible verse or you can't have an official service, right? It's illegal to have church unless you've got, a Bible verse. So I've got that. This morning, I want to begin with a powerful quote from Martin Luther, and I hope some of these will be easier to read than others because there's just a lot of text. Some of the stuff, I didn't want to cut it down because it was too good. So you may have to squint a little bit to read. Hopefully, you can read it clearly. But I wanted to start with this quote because I feel like this quote from Martin Luther, the reformer, right? Everybody with me, summarizes where the body of Christ is today. He said, if I profess with loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, no matter how or however boldly I may be professing Christ. Can I update that 500-year-old language? If I'm silent about some issues today and think I'm preaching Christ, I'm fooling myself. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proven. And to be steady on all the battlefields beside is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. In other words, if I can be loud at certain points and the popular and the easy parts, and but when it comes time where the enemy's attacking and culture is encroaching, are you with me? But I'm silent on that one. Actually, I am in fear and disgrace because I am not dealing with where the enemy is attacking. I grow weary and I don't even, and I understand the sentiment, but people say, well, you just preach Jesus, brother. And I agree with that. Let's preach Jesus. Let's preach all of him. You see, the problem is people that often say that, they just want to preach Jesus as truth. He is truth. But guess what else Jesus is? He's the way and he's the life. What is that? Truth applied. I could stand in a room that's on fire and said, there's a way out of here, everybody. Great. Tell us how to get out. Right? But you got to understand this. This way, he really loves you, and he loves you just the way you are. And yes, tell us how to get out of this burning room. Where our world is today. Yes, preach the truth of Jesus, but he's also the way and the life, so we got to make applied truth. Jesus is applied. In other words, Jesus, just as Jesus dealt with his culture, called Herod a fox, which wasn't a compliment. John the Baptist, a prophetic voice, went to one of the leaders and said, sir, it's not right for you to have her as your wife. You're in adultery. You see, that is what I believe we lack today in the American gospel enterprise. We want to sell our T-shirts. We want to sell our books. We want to draw big crowds. We want a platform of great influence. But I want to tell you, if you begin to speak towards culture, people say, well, he's getting political, brother. I want to tell you today, it may sound like it, but I'm not being political because I'm not seeking your vote. I don't want your vote. Don't need your vote. Let me tell you who's political. The preachers and the ministers in this country who won't talk about the things we're talking about today because they're afraid of people leaving. Oh, they're the ones that need the votes. I'm immune from the votes. Maybe I'm crazy. But I promised when I was 18 years old, or actually 13 years old, when God called me into ministry, that I would always preach the truth, no matter what it cost. And there's been times there's been a cost. But I believe this nation needs applied truth. And I'm sick of this elephant in the room that we can't talk about politics. Or when we try to talk about it, people say, well, how about the other side? Well, what's coming down the pike today is coming from one side. Mario Murillo said this, the most important thing to press upon any army is the reality of the threat. I believe today that there are so many believers that they're asleep. And if they're not asleep, they're trying to accommodate demonic things. Or they think if we accommodate demonic people or demonic philosophies, we can win them over. Well, I want to tell you something. You can have somebody say 50 prayers with you. They can walk altars. You can even dip them in water and have baptismal waters running off their face. But unless they encounter Jesus Christ and their life is transformed, they are not saved. Unless their thinking is changed, right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. People say, well, my so-and-so got saved. Are they different? No. I asked someone that a while ago. They said, well, someone in my family got saved. I said, well, are they different? No. Oh, they just said a prayer. They didn't encounter Jesus. And you see, that's where I'm afraid we're at, because we can preach Jesus as truth. Everyone will accept, this entire planet mostly will accept the fact Jesus loves me. Great. Now let's apply that. Because he loves you, this is the way. This is the life we lead. This is the worldview we embrace. Why? Because it's Jesus' worldview. and we look at the Old Testament too, because we need to see the character of God in the Old Testament. People forget, you know, show me a verse on abortion. Well, I can show you a lot of verses, but that word is not in the Bible per se. But I can tell you that God in the Bible in the Old Testament makes it really clear when he's talking to his people. He said, I don't want you mixing with other religions, because here's the deal. They are killing their children. They are sacrificing their children to idols. And this is, it's in Deuteronomy. God says, one thing I detest. So today I want to stir your hearts with what the Lord is saying in his word. I want to bring some factual things to you. I want you to know that I am not spiritualizing politics, but rather the left is actually politicizing spirituality today. The new dominant religion in our culture is leftism. They have encroached into the church. And they are now politicizing spirituality. And we have to speak up. And we will. Our president, Joe Biden, has advised parents that early surgeries, hormone treatments, and affirmations are crucial for the health of their gender-confused children. According to our president, these are some of the most powerful things a parent can do. Now, the question we're asking today, because I'm talking about transgenderism, I assume most of you have a working understanding of what's happening today in our country, what's going on. But after you leave here today, I want you to be fully apprised of exactly how deep this goes. And then at the end of this, I kind of want to show you where the truth part of this comes in, because all of this is the same. You see, the same devil that wanted to shut down churches, force everyone to get a vaccine, is the same devil who wants 8-year-olds to transition their sexual identity and have wet ladies get abortions. It's the same devil. I hope y'all are still here. You're all shouting a minute ago. Everything that I am about to present, because we're going to look at this. Remember, this is the president of the United States said the best thing, the most powerful thing a parent can do is help your gender-confused child transition. So here's the question. Is this good advice? Now, to begin with, I want to tell you that everything that I'm about to present is from doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and it's pulled from peer-reviewed journals and medical articles. I want to tell you that misinformation can really travel well. I think we all understand that. We all understand that people make claims. In fact, you can hear people say, well, I want to tell you, there's a study that shows blah, 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 blah. That, can I just tell you, that means nothing unless it's peer-reviewed. Peer-reviewed is the gold standard in research. That means other PhDs have read your research. They've examined your conclusions to see if you were off anywhere. So I just want to tell you that everything I'm sharing with you today is peer-reviewed stuff that I pulled from journals, articles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. This is what the American Psychological Association has stated. No approach to working with transgender and gender nonconforming children has been adequately empirically validated. Consensus does not exist regarding the best practice with prepubertal children. Okay, these aren't Christian organizations, right? Remember, our president earlier said, this is the best thing you can do. Here's what this organization says, the APA. They said there isn't any validated scientific approach that we can get behind because it doesn't exist. Similarly, Dr. Stephen Levine, a pioneer in the study and the treatment of sexuality and gender problems since 1974, and arguably the most highly credentialed and respected voice in the field, wrote an expert affidavit, and this is what he said. The knowledge base concerning the causes and the treatment of gender dysphoria has low scientific quality. Professor Carl Hennigan, editor-in-chief of the British Medical Journal and director of the Center of Evidence-Based Medicine at Oxford, along with Professor Tom Jefferson, a clinical epidemiologist, completed an independent analysis of research on transgender medical interventions concerning puberty blockers. This is something they give children, right? And if you're curious about what a puberty blocker does, you've heard about men who are sexual predators, who have been convicted of sexual crimes being chemically castrated. Have you heard that term before? All right, the same drug they give those men to be chemically castrated, that's what they're giving to 11 and 12-year-olds to stop their puberty. Anyway, these professors stated the quality of evidence in this area is terrible. It is believed that the consequences of early hormones and surgeries that include infertility, sexual dysfunction, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, and for some, crippling emotional pain. Get this. If you start treating a child, 10, 11, 12, they're confused about their gender, and you're saying, okay, well, we're going to give them puberty blockers. We're going to go ahead and do this. We're going to give girls male hormones. We're going to give males female hormone. This is the consequence. This is what we do know. Infertility, sexual dysfunction, osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease, and crippling emotional pain. Yet the President of the United States is calling for early treatment. We just need to know the facts. This is what parents must be aware of. Regarding children who develop gender dysphoria before puberty, right? And so we're on the same page. Gender dysphoria is when someone becomes confused about their gender, which used to be extremely rare. It's not so rare anymore. I'll talk about that in just a minute. The great majority, on average, about 80%, maybe as high as 96%, depending on the study you cite, become comfortable with their bodies. This improvement occurs if they go through normal puberty, and it's called desistance. So here, just right off the top, if you have a child or if you know of a child who is becoming gender confused, right? You know, parents are worried. And by the way, it's been normal for millennia for boys growing up to want to play with girl toys and girls to play with boy toys. People today are seeing that and saying, oh, no, they're confused. No, they're just kids. They're just growing up, right? It's okay for boys to play with dollhouses. It's okay for girls to want to climb trees and climb rocks. There's variations, and it's okay. It's all acceptable. It's all part of being a kid. But what's happening today is some parents are seeing that thing. Oh no, we got a problem. We better do something about it. But here's the thing: if you just let them go, somewhere between 80 and 96% of them will hit desistance. In other words, they'll be happy with their body. They'll be happy with who they are. So keep that in mind. Parents also need to be aware of something else. Changing names, pronouns, and presentations can decrease desistance. In other words, parents don't want to jump on the bandwagon and say, well, I don't know, he thinks he's a girl, so let's change his name. Give him new pronouns and let him, you know, dress up like a girl. The studies have shown that decreases desistance. Puberty blockers, Lupron is the one I mentioned earlier, are controversial, and they have a history of lawsuits. And their off-label use in healthy children, and let me tell you, is experimental. And they have serious adverse effects that are irreversible. Early menopause, osteoporosis. And there's no country in which PBAs are licensed for the treatment of gender dysphoria. Yet we're being told this is the way to go. Are you tracking with me? Once on puberty blockers, desistance is very rare. Nearly all children placed on blockers go on to take opposite sex hormones, which must be taken forever. Until very recently, gender dysphoria was a very rare diagnosis with a prevalence of 1 in 110,000 children. A 2021 study suggested that the rate of transgender identification among urban youth in the U.S. may be as high as 9 in 100 now. Are y'all listening? It is not definitively known what is causing so many young people to reject their biology although we have some good ideas. There's a new form of gender dysphoria developed during adolescence, predominantly in girls with no earlier discomfort with their sex. It appears suddenly, and therefore it is known as rapid onset gender dysphoria. The girl's discomfort with being female typically follows increased use of the internet and social media and is associated with comorbid mental health disorders and neurodevelopment disability. The social influence aspect of ROGD is striking, with one study showing that 86.7% of young people with it had one or more friends who came out as transgender at the same time and had an increased use on their social media. What is happening right now, my friend, is the devil has vomited, hell has vomited this garbage into the mainstream. And let me tell you, there's an app. If you love your girls, don't let them have TikTok on their phone, because this is coming from TikTok. Let me tell you, if you love your children, I wouldn't even give them a cell phone until they were a teenager, and I would have blockers and restrictions on that as well. But this is being driven by social media. If you're not aware of what TikTok is, I don't have it, but I do know what it is. It's one video after another. It just rolls. Some of you got it. I'm not saying you're a bad person to have it. I think we were right to block it 3 years ago, because now we understand China is mining data, the people who use it. And, of course, people poo-pooed that. Oh, that's not happening. But now we're finding out, oh, that sure is happening. And yet this country is doing nothing about it. But they're getting this information, and suddenly this public pool has been, you know, like what happens at the Kroger Aquatic Center in Huber Heights. Like every once in a while, like every time I go, it like happens. Like, oh, we got everyone out of the pool. What happened? We find out some child, maybe, had an accident in the pool. Or they threw up in the pool. And we got to close it down. Because we don't want you swimming through it. You don't want to walk in it. You don't want to accidentally get the water from it up your nose, right? I can get a lot of disgusting things, and there's a reason why we shut the pool. But the problem is the internet is an open sewer, and that comes into our homes. It comes into our phone, and suddenly some kid is demonic and has submitted himself to the devil, and they're saying, well, I was rejected, and I was lonely, and I didn't feel accepted, said every junior higher on the planet. And I found out my struggle was I was really a boy inside of a girl's body. And so that's when I became free. And suddenly every little 12 and 13 year old who's struggling, who's having doubts, who's having normal stuff when you're growing up, man, I was in junior high. I thought, man, I wondered if I was going to make it sometimes. Holy cow. Then like hormones hit. And I'm like, I better jump out the window right now. And this is spreading like a virus. It's in our schools. I don't even know if I would send a child to public school anymore. Really, if you're asking me, the best advice I can give you is get your kids out of public school, because they're hearing this right now. I promise you. Oh, not my teacher. They'll hear it. You may get lucky and have a good second grade teacher who, you know, goes to Anchor Baptist or, you know, whatever down in whatever. And like, oh, they're crying. No, they're crying. Well, that's wonderful. But the curriculum in that school is going to push this. And so what's happening, there's this phenomenon that's well documented now. There's a spreading of behaviors. There's a spreading of beliefs amongst friends. And it's especially hitting girls. Interesting. Every adolescent goes through some degree of difficulty accepting the physical and emotional changes of puberty. That difficulty is magnified for children with emotional and neurodiverse conditions, such as ADHD, or if they're somewhere on the autism spectrum order. We have to be aware that these kids perhaps are even more susceptible to this garbage. So transgenderism is therefore, it's promoted by online activists as a solution to nearly every psychosocial problem you can have. Youth are led to believe that their social awkwardness, lack of friends, come on, we've all been there, sadness, eating issues, discomfort with their bodies. I'm not sure I've met too many girls or women in this planet who are comfortable with their body. It's normal. All of it, they're telling these kids now, it's because you might be trans. Your gender does not align with a sex assigned to you at birth. And see, your children, they can be in their room, they can be on their phone, and they can watch just a few clips. And all it takes for something to grow, all it takes for a seed to grow, is just a couple clicks and it hits the soil of the mind. A few weeks ago, a couple of my grandkids came home and they, one of their Wednesday nights project, they had a cup with soil in it. And they had like a bean seed or something in it. And it was cool. It's like, okay. I said, well, why don't we water them? We'll put them in the windowsill and see what happens. So I didn't pay attention to it. Like, you know, a couple of weeks later, I look in the windowsill and one cup, nothing. I'm like, I wonder if one of my grandkids got ripped right there. Maybe they forgot to put a seed in there. I don't know. Or maybe it just didn't sprout. The other cup, though, the bean was like this. Like, dude, right? This is how it works in the mind. When seeds are planted, in fact, Jesus compared the gospel, right, the parable of the sower. When seed goes forth, good and bad, hear me, it sticks in your mind, and we have to be very cautious of the seeds. And this is not just for children, but adults, this is for us. Moms and dads, grandmas, this is for us too, because it works the same. The difference is we may have the experience, the discernment, and the wherewithal to stand up and say, wait a second, that's wrong. That thought is wrong, right? Kids, they like, oh, I guess that's just normal. That's just because they don't have all of that behind them. And they can sit in the room and they can watch video clips. And on YouTube, the same. YouTube's just as bad. They can get and they can watch video after video after video. And all of a sudden, seeds have been planted. They go, nothing wrong with my kids. Yeah, the seed is sprouting below the surface of the soil, perhaps. What I want to advocate for is we take, number one here today, is we take an active role in children and grandchildren. Probably not your grandchildren. You don't have as much say, but where you do, be a light, be a voice. But if you're a parent, for God's sake, monitor what your children do online. Thank you for those four hand claps. Some people still mad at me. They think I'm getting political. That's okay. It's gonna get a lot worse before it get better for you. Hang on. They struggle with their changing bodies, their nascent sexuality, individuation from parents, and yet they find acceptance by their peers or not. Many are lonely, and this whole thing was exacerbated during COVID lockdowns. These vulnerable kids search for relief. And sadly, they're finding it on the internet. Upon announcing a trans identity, a new name, a new pronoun, a child is suddenly welcomed by an enthusiastic community, both online and in real life, showered with attention, praise, and most importantly, acceptance. It's what he or she has always yearned for, to be admired and appreciated and belong. My friends, as I was studying this and reading this, this is what said, man, church, take notice here. Most of the time, people and adults will struggle with this as well. They will struggle in secret. They will struggle in silence. And I don't think we fully grasp how valuable our words of appreciation, our words of admiration, our words of uplifting people that gives people a sense of belonging. I don't think we understand how much that matters. That's another reason, 1,123, we don't sit home and watch church on TV. TV or watch it on YouTube, because what you have to offer in the body matters. What you say to your brothers and sisters here matters. There are people here looking for someone to encourage them. Go out of your way. I know you, many of you already do that. We need to go out of our way. Now, don't come late and leave early and say, well, no one talked to me. Well, duh. But I want to tell you, when you are here, understand that we have a role and a purpose. Right? I've had people do that. Well, no one talked to me. It's like, well, you came an hour late and left an hour early. So you had about 5 minutes in between. One of our Google reviews, somebody said, They gave us a one-star review and said, the pastor told me I was religious. The pastor told me I wasn't religious. I was like, that could have been a compliment. See, David, you weren't here long enough to understand you took that the wrong way, brother. But I want to tell you, listen, you don't even need to know someone's story. People need to know in the kingdom of God that they can belong even before they become. That is the message of Jesus. That is what the word of God tells us, that people should belong before they even become. So we have to make people understand, yeah, you're welcome. We love you. Listen, a lot of us have been through struggles and battles. You belong here. And in belonging, they will become like Christ. In belonging. But we just need to understand that principle, that it's okay. People can belong before they become. Amen. Thank you for the four hand claps. God bless you. So now in America, Arkansas and Tennessee are the most recent states that passed bills outlawing hormonal and surgical treatments for gender dysphoria in minors. More will follow, hopefully. But I do want to tell you there's a rather scary bill. I think it's SB 107 in California. Maybe you've heard of this. If it passes, California will become what they call a sanctuary state for kids who want transgender surgery. So let's extrapolate this. So you have an 8 or 9 year old who's confused and, dad, I want to become a girl, little boy, dad, I want to become, no, honey, that's not who you are. That's not your identity. Well, if they got Aunt So-and-so out in California and they go visit Aunt So-and-so, and Aunt So-and-so's kind of liberal, right? And she's all into this current, you know, dominant religion of leftism. And well, children ought to have the right to, so Aunt So-and-so could take your 8 or 9 year old boy, take him to the right place. This is what this bill will allow. Some of you look at me like I'm lying. I'm not. And your little boy could come home to you with his genitals cut off, puberty blockers, taking them, female hormones, and you had nothing you could do about it. Is anybody waking up yet? That's what that bill will allow. Similar bills outlawing have been passed and introduced in states like Idaho, Utah, Missouri, Alabama. President Biden, of course, calls these bills hateful. But they protect children who lack the capacity to grasp the long-term consequences and risks of life-altering medical interventions. I don't want your vote. I'm not trying to get you to vote for anybody. I'm just telling you the truth today. Can I just be more honest? I guess I've just, you know. Let me give you a biblical analogy. The Bible talks about three end-time characters that are demonic: the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. If I were going to give you an analogy today, I'm not saying these are them, okay? Let's make this clear. But I'll just give you an analogy. If the beast is transgenderism and abortion and all these demonic things that are being politicized and perpetrated on us, the Antichrist is the government arm of the beast. So the Antichrist would be the Democratic Party. Who's the false prophet? Left-wing Christianity. Witch doctors in the pulpit. I've seen videos, you've seen videos. They get up in the pulpit and they're saying there's nothing wrong with abortion. We need to make sure women have the right to abortion. We need to make sure. I want to tell you, these people aren't pastors. They're witch doctors. You can look at me like I've got a tinfoil hat. I care not. I'm not saying that's how it is, but I'm saying if I wanted to assign what I'm seeing this theology that's being shoved down America's throat. I'm seeing the political cover for it. And then I'm seeing people who should know better who are speaking up and saying, yeah, we have a problem. Now, parents who ignore the evidence and go ahead and give their children reassignment surgeries and hormone therapies are going to guarantee their children the following. Understand, everything I'm quoting to you today, peer-reviewed research. I pulled it from medical journals, from articles, from things that people in the know, all right? This is what you will guarantee your child. You will greatly reduce the size of the dating pool for your child, number one. That stands to reason, right? You're going to greatly reduce their chance of marriage. You know, the marriage that most of us have enjoyed or will enjoy, right? They won't even have that opportunity. You're going to greatly increase anxiety, depression, substance abuse, eating disorders, domestic violence, suicidal ideation, and suicide in your child. You're also going to give them an elevated chance of cancer and cardiovascular disease because, remember, those hormones are for a lifetime. I know ladies that have gone through surgeries that, hysterectomies, and they put you on hormones, right? And at some point they say, hey, don't take those anymore because it's not good to take those. So could you imagine having that surgery done when you're 11, 12, 13, and you're taking that for the rest of your life? No wonder things go awry. I also want to say this because I heard a congressional interview the other day, and some lady chastised one of our, I think it was Josh Hawley, was asking questions and said, sir, you're the reason why they're committing suicide. Just the left-wing tripe, right? But there's no evidence that transition lowers the risk of suicide. Did you read that? No evidence. Now, people will try to give you evidence, but here's your question. Is it peer-reviewed? If someone tries to give you, well, there's a study. Okay, well, give me the link. That's my first question. I've had people say, well, how about that lady that was prosecuted for having a miscarriage? Give me the link. Give me the link. Never heard from her again. Give me the link. You're quoting a story. Give me a link, right? Somebody on Facebook, somebody sending you stuff. Somebody said, well, how about that? Give me the link. Let me see it. Let me read it. Okay, if they actually supply it, read it, and make sure, you know, hey, well, maybe something slipped through my radar and I didn't know that. Like, wow, okay, then I want to know. Or maybe they read it wrong. Or maybe in this case, that story didn't exist. Because I did her a favor and I Googled that. No, that did not happen. I had some questions about this supposed, I thought the timing was too perfect. You've heard a story about this 10-year-old girl who allegedly was raped and got pregnant. And I thought it was rather interesting. And I was watching this story carefully because I thought, isn't that interesting? This doctor who broke the Hippocratic Oath, first of all, to share that publicly, and who, by the way, is an abortion activist, so she's very invested in getting stories like that out. Like, oh, a 10-year-old girl, oh my, you know, which is terrible. But really my thought was, why aren't we prosecuting the guy who raped her? There was zero conversation about that for several weeks. Like, they were saying, she's pregnant. Like, well, who raped her? An Ohio attorney general? Anybody follow this? Am I just talking alone up here? And we follow this story, and it's like, well, we don't have anything. We don't have it. Finally, some poor guy. And I want to be careful how I say it because it may be true. I will tell you this. I don't watch a lot of Telemundo, right? But I was watching this clip from Telemundo. The guy that they accused is a Guatemalan refugee. He's not even a citizen of the United States, doesn't even speak English. And I started wondering, I hate to say this, but how true is that even? Now, maybe he did. Maybe he's guilty. I just think if it happened, our concern should be for that little girl. Our concern should be whoever did that to her should be put away in prison. Give them chemical castration. Telemundo went to this girl's mom's home, allegedly. I watched the interview. Had to watch with subtitles. The mother came to the door, said, everything they're telling you is a lie. She closed the door. End of the interview. I don't know what that means. I don't know where it's going. I like to follow up some more on the story, but all I'm saying to you, there are forces invested, forces of darkness that are invested in carrying out a narrative to try to prove a point, because I want to tell you there are things at work in this country and on this planet that come from a spiritual source. One study showed that following genital surgery, transgender patients were 4 times more likely to attempt suicide. Are you seeing that? Well, if we don't, they commit suicide because you don't accept them, because you don't let them dress as a girl, because we don't go along and use their pronouns. No. Peer-reviewed study following genital surgery, transgender patients were nearly 5 times more likely to attempt suicide and 19 times more likely to have died from suicide. In all of this, I tell you what breaks my heart is the people that are struggling with gender dysphoria. And you know what I wonder? How will they get free? How is someone going to get free if we go along with their delusion? How is someone going to get free if we say, oh, that's okay, yeah, sure, yeah, well, you can have that surgery, we'll give you... How will somebody get free unless someone shows them Jesus the way? Jesus the truth, Jesus the life. I think you know my heart. I've said this 1,000 times. Truth must always be spoken in love. We must always lead with compassion. I know I can be more forceful in here, and I am, because I believe I'm preaching to a large majority of Christians. That's the way it should be. But I want to tell you, when we're dealing with people that are struggling with these things, we need to come with love and compassion and healing, right? Because we want, without affirming, right, without saying, you know, I'm not coming to your gay wedding. I'm not going to be part of your transgender surgery because I think that's wrong. But I want to tell you, I love you, and I know God's got something for you, and there's a future for you, and Jesus can heal you. He's healed me of stuff, and He'll heal you of stuff, and He's the God that's on the throne. Like we said a minute ago, there's a balm in Gilead. There's a God that heals. There's a God that delivers. There's a God that America needs to know. And when we have witch doctors that get in the pulpit, and they won't even celebrate Roe versus Wade. They won't even talk about transgender. They would die before they said the things I'm saying today. They are leading a people to hell with them. Now, maybe somewhere in the middle of God's grace and mercy, there's people plucked out of there, and that's probably the case. That's probably the truth. But I want to tell you, it makes me furious when you can look at almost any mega church pastor's Instagram, Facebook page. It's crickets. It's crickets. And it's embarrassing. And it's wrong. I'm not going to name names and throw shade, but you're capable of getting on and finding people too and seeing what's going on. But I want to tell you, it's wrong that people who are supposed to be ministers of the gospel and ministers of the truth to stand and say, hey, this is wrong. Hey, how about we just celebrate? You know, this Roe v. Wade being overturned, that was the biggest thing overturned since the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865. When slavery was the 13th Amendment, slavery illegal. I got to be careful because I just go 5 different directions today. We'll be here all day. But I want to tell you, this country was already in process of getting rid of slavery. 1777, 1 year after the Constitution was written, Vermont outlawed slavery. It began happening. It's not a matter of did your country have slavery, it's when and how long did it last. Every country on this planet has had slaves, humans owned. The most egregious, one of the most egregious sinful practices ever in the history of humanity. Every nation on this planet has had slaves and has legalized it at some point. And can I tell you today that there are more slaves alive, people owned by other people today than ever in the history of this world? Slavery in America only lasted legally for a country from 1776 to 1865. Less about 90 years slavery lasted. It's lasted hundreds of years in Europe. It's lasted hundreds of years in Africa. Still ongoing in Africa. Still ongoing in China, where the Uyghur people are being put, a million Uyghur people are being put in prison camps, and our NBA players have the nerve to kneel for our national anthem and have the nerve to talk trash about our country while they will take money from China for their basketball because they don't want to speak up against the slavery that's going on. There's something wrong with that, and I'm not okay with it. Now, you can kneel, stand, dance, twirl, or whatever you want to do during the national anthem, but when you start degrading America and you hate the flag and you hate our country, and yet you'll take money from a country because of your ball playing and they have active ongoing slavery, that's hypocritical. In fact, that might be the pinnacle definition of hypocritical in my book. Sad. Come on, it's been a couple weeks since a preacher preached. Come on, that's, you know, gonna. You should have known this. This ain't the day to have grandkids over at 12:30 because we'll be past that. I'll tell you now that I'm halfway through them. I had 43 slides today on the screen. I normally have about 5 or 6. I told some of the media booth, I said, if I spend 1 minute per slide, that's 43 minutes alone that we're going to be here. But notice they're flying, right? There's some of them don't stay on long. So a gender confused, I assume you're here to learn, right? Right? I assume you're here. Come on. A gender confused child who is automatically affirmed and given hormones and operations before he or she has a chance to grow up and experience the pleasure that their healthy body can provide or carefully consider parenthood may one day deeply regret the entire process. In fact, many of them often do. Those who support transitioning children claim regret is rare, but I can tell you it's not. There is one Reddit. Y'all know what Reddit is? A few of you? All right. There is one Reddit detransitioner site that alone has 28,000 members. Don't tell me regret's rare. If you have seen Matt Walsh's documentary, What is a Woman? I can highly recommend it. You will be familiar with this next name I'm about to put on the screen. This lady, she was born a lady, but she was 42 years old when she transitioned to a woman, or 32, somewhere in there. She goes by Scott Nugent now. Scott, born a female, decided a little later in life to transition to a male. And she was interviewed by Matt Walsh, and probably everybody, we had our staff over, and we watched this. I think most everybody in the room, we had tears running down our face as we watched this lady. And she said, I wish to God I'd never done this. But now I'm living with a lifetime of infections. I'm living with a lifetime of pain. I'm living with a lifetime of problems. She said, I probably won't live very long. She went on and on. And so to hear her story of pain and regret and permanent damage of her body is heart-wrenching to say the least. And he or she has become an outspoken voice against transgender transition. But here is what the left does to people who disagree with them. Totally kicked off of Twitter. That's her account, Scott Nugent's account. A vocal opponent of transgender movement, so you get kicked off of Twitter. So trans activists silence their opposition because they cannot engage on facts. When you can't engage on facts, all you're left with is trying to silence people. Just like a Marxist would. That's what Marxists do. Let's silence the opposition. Let's shut them down. People make much of January 6th, and I don't want to get into that today. But I've heard Maxine Waters publicly tell people to go after congresswomen and men who are pro-life. Go to their restaurants, yell and scream. Make sure they don't feel welcome here. Heard Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer. Y'all ever heard that name? Yeah? Judge Gorsuch, Judge Kavanaugh, you're about to reap a whirlwind. You ever seen this clip? If you haven't seen that clip, you need to get off your news channel and find a new one. You're about to reap a whirlwind for what you've done. Oh? Like people illegally? It's against the law to protest at a judge's house in America. So why are those people out front yelling F you at 3 a.m. and screaming and holding up signs, and the neighbors are saying, why don't the police do something? It's illegal to do that. But our government's not doing anything about that. I think we got the wrong insurrection here. Got it backwards. Let me just say this. It's interesting. I saw this graphic. And it was kind of one of these, what I think is probably a left-wing Christian. But this graphic of all the news sources that are available to us. Maybe you've seen it. It was kind of funny because some of them I agreed with, and some of the, it's like this graph, right? They had like NPR in the middle. I'm like, NPR is definitely far to the left. That's had a couple things over here on the left, and then people were on there saying, yeah, well, I like to mix it up and listen to a little bit of both, and you know. Of course, I didn't comment. But I said, if I put the cross of Jesus Christ on that graph, where would it be? Where would I put the words of Jesus who said, if you look at a woman, you've committed adultery? Surely in this culture, that has to be way far right. They had Fox News a little too far right, which I think was accurate. But I thought, man, if they think Fox News is conservative, where would the cross of Jesus, where would the words of Jesus said, if you're angry with someone, you've committed a murder? All these Christians trying to look woke and hip and act like they're, you know, reading all these newspapers, which I don't know if true or not. And I start thinking, how do you balance Christianity? Should you? How do you balance being radical for God? How do you balance the fire of God, the love of the devil? How do you balance the radical truth of Jesus Christ? We're going to mix in some lies from the leftist religion. So we look balanced. Who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to make happy? Just a question. Because if we say it's about Jesus, okay, let's put the cross of Christ on your media graphic. Jesus over. He would have to be far right. Man, he doesn't even allow you to mess around with your girlfriend, and that's adultery. I don't even have to touch her. I look at her, and that's got to be far. That's got to be further right than Sean Hannity. Tucker Carlson, he don't even believe that. That's got to be way further right than him. The cross of Christ. It's Jesus we're upholding, and his message is never popular. In fact, Paul said it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Hello. The preferred treatment in all other countries is now psychotherapy. Did you read that first line? If you have a gender-confused child, the preferred treatment now is psychotherapy. America is the only place they'll give them the drugs they're giving them now. In Canada, maybe. What this means is that gender-questioning children, like a girl in Stockholm or Amsterdam, she'll explore her struggles with a mental health professional. That sounds a little more reasonable, right? Whereas the same girl in Boston or Seattle can access testosterone, mastectomies with ease, and with a few months, she'll have a flat chest and a permanently lowered voice. Welcome to America. Understand that other countries have all, for the most part, applied the brakes on affirmation, hormones, and surgery. But America, the instructions to parents per our president has been to accelerate it. Accelerate it. And for the president to state that early affirmation of children with gender issues is crucial, is a dangerous falsehood, one that misleads parents and places children at risk for serious harm and lifelong suffering. We are being told, my friends, to accept and embrace and approve so many wicked things that are plainly wrong by leaders who don't even blink when they say crazy stuff. And this reminds me of the next quote that I want to show you right here. I'll let that sit there for a second. I'll read it for those at home that are watching. It's a quote from George Orwell's book, 1984. A phenomenal book, reminds me of America. The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final and most essential command. Don't believe that the very people saying follow the science are no longer following the science. And can I just tell you something? If you're going to follow the science, here's the beauty about science. You want to listen to the dissenters in science. That's where the powerful things happen in science. When 97% of these climate alarmists, these other people, oh, no, it's smart. Smart. And why do I say that? Because I can go back, we all could go back several hundred years, and we think Sir Isaac Newton, right? He was the one percenter. He was trying to say, wait a second, there's a thing called gravity. No, you're demon possessed. We got to listen to the pushback, because that is where often the truth lies in science. Especially when we have now political parties that are pushing agendas for one single reason. It's your vote. Your vote. All they care about. So the new dominant religion in America is leftism. It's the wokeism. You can't speak against it or you're canned, you're fired, you're blocked, you're screened. If you put your opinion out there, you get fired, you get shut down, you get blocked, you get kicked off of Twitter, Facebook, etc. And here's how I'm going to talk about truth and I'm going to close. Y'all good? You hang with me for a little bit? Okay, seven of you. I'll do my best. Here's how leftists spread the misinformation. The media claims that there's a rise, and this is true. The media has been claiming that there's a rise in anti-LGBTQ violence. How many, have you heard that? Yeah, you've heard that, right? So they use this statement, unproven though it may be, to justify banning terms like groomer. So if you talk about grooming or groomers, which is very much happening, it's happening on social media, it's happening at school. If you use that term, that they will flip their wigs. And they will accuse you of violence. And they'll say, those type of terms fuel violence. But here's the question, right? Let's dive a little deeper. Where is the evidence that there's increased violence? Because people like to quote stuff. I hear people quoting stuff like Bible. It's not the Bible. Well, don't you know the blah, 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 blah. I was like, is that true? Of course, you know my next question. Give me the link. And is it peer reviewed? Okay. Here's the reality. I've checked this out. The evidence doesn't exist because the claim is a total fabrication. There isn't increased in violence against LGBTQ or transgender people. That's a lie. I'm going to show you why it's a lie here in a second. Here's where it comes from. President Biden warned against a rise in hate and violence against LGBTQ people. You got it, right? The only evidence they can cite, all right, this is what I tracked it down to. The only evidence cited is an article in the Washington Post newspaper. How convenient. One of their own. So we found the article. This article claims there's a surge in anti-LGBTQ. I messed it up. I left a B out of there. LGTB. No, I got it. JB. Yeah, you got it. There's a surge in that kind of violence. So this claim comes from this article. All right. So we drill down in this article. Is this okay? Are y'all with me still? So we drill down in this article, and this Washington Post article then links what they are citing. They are extrapolating, by the way. They are citing a group called the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. How many have heard of that? That's what I thought. I hadn't either. In the article, they point to a fact sheet from this organization that does not claim a stark rise in violence, but rather a rise in mobilization, which is not the same thing. I'll describe mobilization to you in just a moment. So what has happened here, we've got a game of telephone happening. You all play telephone? You start with a word, and by the end of the person, that's not what I said at all. So mobilization becomes threats. Threats become hateful attacks. And their definition of mobilization includes peaceful demonstration and passing out flyers, which they say is 90% of mobilization. So there's a rise in mobilization. 90% of it is peaceful demonstration and passing out flyers. Can I give you an example? If you are passing out tracts telling people that Jesus loves you and you happen to give one to a transgender person and you say, Jesus loves you, they get mad at that. They go make a call. They report that. Oh, there's mobilization against LGBTQ. Few people. You could be at a pro-life clinic and you could have a sign or an abortion clinic and your sign says, Jesus heals and forgives. We've got a bunch of radical Christians out here and they call, oh, we got it down. We got more mobilization against LGBTQ. You see how nuts that is? So that is the only piece of evidence out there that I can find. And that's been extrapolated as hate. Our president gets up. There's hateful attacks. No, there's not. It's a lie. There's not an increase of hateful attacks. We got Jesse Smollett creating his own hateful attack, right? Up there in Chicago. It's a crazy, mixed up deceived world we're in, and they have one goal. They want everybody. It's no longer okay just to accept their sin. They want you to say you accept it. I'm personally of the opinion, if an adult wants to do something to destroy their body, I hate it. I'm sad for them. But have at it. It's America, right? But let's keep our hands off the kids under 18. If you want to screw your life up and listen to liars and listen to the devil, you know, I'll lay my body in front of that cliff that you're about to drive off of. I'll be a voice in the wilderness crying out. I'll take the pain. I'll lift up Jesus. I'll say, you're making a mistake. Don't do it. But at the end of the day, this is America, right? So if you want to be stupid, you have the right to be stupid. But what I have a problem with, my friends, number one, is when no longer we just want to be accepted. We want to hear it from you. We want those Christians silent. We want the opposition silent because we cannot engage them on facts, mostly cannot engage them on intellect either, and we cannot engage them on truth because we lack it, because all it is Sodom and Gomorrah replayed. We want to live in our sin, and we want to do what we want to do, and we want you to say it's okay. I have highlighted there, the article's highlighted, that says these are nonviolent, flyering. And you can see how this can be extrapolated and considered. How about this? On Instagram, you put a sermon clip. I had a clip I got from someone who sharing how God set him free from homosexuality. Someone who was homosexual didn't like that. They could report that. They say, oh, you're spreading hate online, brother. And then people saying, oh, Pastor Eric's spreading hate online. Right? Because we tend to believe narratives like that. So this is a lie being perpetrated in our country. There are no increased threats or hateful attacks. But just like that, people holding signs or passing out pro-marriage literature get counted as violent, hateful attackers. And this is exactly how the left creates a false narrative that tragically our president is all too willing to repeat. All too willing to repeat. I remind you the quote from Martin Luther, my friends. Where the battle rages, it's there the loyalty of the soldier is proven. To be steady in all battlefields besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. Or as Paul told the Galatians, have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? I've mentioned this leftism is the dominant religion of our culture. Today, only 63% of Americans say they are Christians. It has dropped 78% in only 15 years. Friends, that's a cataclysmic drop. When I was a kid coming up in the 80s, it's probably like 88%. John Adams, one of our founders, said our political system was made. There's another lie. America wasn't founded on Christianity. No, that's a lie. There's so many rabbit trails I could just go on, but I'm not. I got to stay on topic. Our political system was made for moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate as a government for any other. That scares me. When that number gets much below 50%, we're going to have a bunch of immoral issues in this country that our government's no longer going to work. And at that point, godly people. And I want to tell you, it's not just Christians that are anti-abortion, by the way. I know atheists that are pro-life. People have different reasons for stuff. We can't paint all this as Christians against everyone else, even though that may be a lot of the crowd. But we need to understand that this government was built and made for honest people, moral people. And when we lose that number, this will be a different country. That's all I'm going to say there. Religion of leftism. You recognize these signs, I'm sure. Hostility to customs and history. How about the idiots that tore down the statue of Abraham Lincoln and the child that freed slaves made and bought and built it to give as a gift to Lincoln, thanking him for what he did. But the woke mob deemed it terrible. Gay marriage. Transgenderism, gender theory, critical race theory. I'd love to stay there and go. so much lies and mistruths there. Inherited racial guilt. A man could be born in a woman's body. We have global warming extremism. Yeah, the climate appears to be warming, right? I understand that. I would argue that it's cyclical. I would also argue that there's a lot of benefits to a warming climate as well. We'll stop there. But here's the deal. And it's lockstep. You can turn channels and you're hearing the same. It's an existential threat to humanity. You hear that phrase over and over and over. It's like they all got on the same page with the same talking points and they're going, it's an existential threat to humanity. Global warming extremism is part of their religion. And here's why. It's they want transcendence. They want to be transcendent. Turn this up a little bit. This is the face of the Democratic Party today. I want you to hear this. I'm sorry to show this to you. Do you hear what she's saying there? We love killing babies. We love killing babies. It's leftism. You find these all over the internet. How about a drag brunch? May not be able to read. I've circled it there. Family fun. Kids are only $5 to get in to watch these perverts. Men dressed as women dance around. My question to you is, when's enough enough? And this is where we're at, church. Shall we be silent on the point of conflict? I've told you it's broken my heart to see so many preachers and even our movement, to be honest with you, here in Ohio, silent on Roe v. Wade. It's heartbreaking. I'm wrapping up. Just want to summarize this leftism religion. None of the leftism's tenets are scientific, but it is their attempt to find transcendent meaning in their religion. That's why they've created a myth of beginning. It's called evolution. They have a myth of ending. It's global warming alarmism, right? They've got all these things because they don't have transcendent and they want to be transcendent. So they're trying to find something with transcendent meaning. And isn't it interesting that many churches have done away with the transcendent elements of our faith? You can go to churches today. There's no cross displayed. What is the cross? What does the cross speak of? It speaks of transcendence. That's a once and for all thing that Jesus did for us. It's transcendent. The left is dying for something transcendent. Churches are getting rid of their transcendent. Churches are getting, there's no altar calls or prayer time. How many churches bring people to an altar like we did? They're doing away with that because they want to try to get it normal. They want a non-transcendent. There's no supernatural happening. There's no prayer for the sick anymore. The elements of our faith that are transcendent, I would argue, is the power of our faith. It's what God has sent to reach a culture. Churches are trying to do away with the why so they can be normal and ordinary. Come and I'll teach you how to deal with stress. Throw a Bible verse on it. It's time for us to go back to what we've received. This is what Paul says. I'm closing 2 Corinthians 11. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts, you see that? Your thoughts will be led astray. Your first loss is in your thinking. You watch it enough on the news. You listen to enough from politicians. You listen to enough on the internet. You listen to enough made up stories or even true stories, sob stories that try to prove a point. All of a sudden, your thoughts begin to be led away from what? Sincere and pure devotion. What is pure devotion to Jesus Christ? If nothing else, it includes full submission to Christ. If someone comes to proclaim another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Paul's coming against the Corinthians. You've allowed false teachers to come in, bring another Jesus, bring another slant, bring another, and you've embraced it. He says the same thing, similar in Galatians. Galatians 1:6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. This is another misnomer. There are people saying, I hear this from, I don't want to say who. Well, you can't bring correction, brother. You need to do correction behind closed doors. No, not that's what the pulpit is for. Tell that to Paul. I went around with somebody, a minister, like, well, you know, they never corrected people in the New Testament. I'm like, are we reading the same Bible? We got the same. Have you read Philippians? You read Galatians? You read Colossians? What do you mean? Paul didn't correct them. What are you talking about? He even corrected Peter to his face and then told other people about it. And Peter strongly opposed me, and I set him straight, and he went and told a whole bunch of churches that he did it. I really don't get it. I just say, God, help me not to become a cartoon character. I only have so many years left on this rock, and God, I want to know, people know when I leave that I didn't fold, I didn't compromise, I didn't give in, I didn't soften up, I held to the truth to the very end. You're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Hello, left-wing, woker Christianity. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary to the one that we preached to you, let him be condemned to hell. Listen, you apply that to what Pastor Eric says. You take what I say and you compare it to the Word of God. If it doesn't match up to the Word of God, then don't listen to me. I will tell you that. Thank you, Dev. Bless your heart. As we have said before, now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be condemned to hell. He repeats it again. See, if I'm preaching something else, somebody come up here and just yank me out. Somebody just shoot me, put me out of my misery. Just say, Pastor Eric must have fell on vacation. He had that, you know, he had that timber rattlesnake by his cabin. That rattlesnake must have bit him, and he got some poison, and he's not thinking clearly. Somebody get him. And I'm now trying to gain the approval of people, because that's where the heart of it is. Oh, brother, you're going to run people off if you tell them that. Well, let me ask you, brother, soft spine. When are you going to tell them that? We're going to have them say a fake prayer and have a fake salvation so we can report it on our little ACMR and tell the district we got people saved and they really weren't saved. We just talked them into it because they lied. But when they found out, oh, Jesus has to be my Lord. Oh, he's the way and the truth also. Oh, I thought I could just have a little Savior and he'd be my bud and Jesus is my homeboy and, you know, we're all good and we love each other. And no. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? To which Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. In Galatians 2:20, he said, it's no longer Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. In the life that I now live, I live in faith to Jesus Christ. So I'm all the way over here. Put your little graphs and look, try to look smart and intelligent and learn it all you want. I'm all the way over there on the cross of Christ. Own little group. People forget, you know, we're trying to save people, but let me tell you, salvation is the narrow path. Jesus said, broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many, 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 you hearing me? Many. See, we think where the people are, that must be where it's happening. That's true of a restaurant maybe, but when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the kingdom of God, the broad path, where a lot of people, where it's easy, there's a low ask, there's no ask, there's come and say a prayer and you're in, brother. You know, we got that brand right there, and the road is broad, and their people are addicted to pornography, their pastors are sleeping with other women. It's been happening crazy numbers these last few months and years. They've got people that aren't living for God, and that's what their church looks like. But Jesus said, way over here, there's a narrow path. Heads up, it's difficult. And few there will be that find it. When we were at Hocking Hills, this verse always comes to my mind. There's a little hiking trail. I forget where, which park in particular it is. But these rocks are just like split. And you have to be really thin to get through it. Well, you can't be much bigger than me and get through out of that. When I'm walking, I'm squeezing through this crack. It's the trail. I always think the way to heaven, the way to follow Christ, it's narrow. And it's difficult. And there's times that we're going to be unpopular. But the difference is, do we want people set free? Paul said, I'm going to grab as many from the fire as we can. We're going to grab as many out of the fire as we can. But we sure ain't going to rescue them if we aren't speaking up and saying, hey, brother, I love you, but I got to tell you, you're going down the wrong path. Am I now trying to gain the approval of people or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ. I agree. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to please people. But that ain't the way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's not only truth, he's truth applied. And truth applied affects all areas of our life. Would you stand with me right now? I'm rapping. Thank you guys. It's just been awesome today. Thank you so much for listening. I know this is a different kind of message, but I think there's some super important things that we need to cover and talk about today. I pray that you got some good information today, but most of all, I pray that the Lord has inspired you and fired you up today to be a voice, to be a lighthouse, to be someone that will stand in the darkness. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, I pray.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.